You are listening to Mahogany Says Radio Show with Mahogany Silvering, mahoganysilvering.net. Hot Coffee, an interracial romance by Donna R. Mercer. A new release on December 3rd is now available for pre-orders on Amazon. Roman is a playboy, but one too many scandals has put his CEO position in jeopardy. He must find a nice girl one of the board of Hemingway Industries would approve of and get married before the new year. Maya is just the woman he needs with her wholesome clean image. Roman is the one man who has ever held a place in her heart, but she has no plans of marriage, only philanthropy. So Roman must prove his love and earn Kamaya's trust, or risk losing it all. Everyone needs a little cream in their hot coffee. An interracial romance by Donna R. Mercer. For more information, visit www.donnarmercer.com. Hot coffee. Get your copy today.
From author Mahogany Silvering comes the book, Tell Me You Love Me. Tell Me You Love Me is a paranormal and diverse romance novella. This is the first book in the Kenya Clark series. Breaking the laws of magic, a supernatural serial killer is unleashed on the city of Atlanta, Georgia. Special Agent Kenya Clark of the GBI Paranormal Crimes Investigation Unit has been given the case. Her partner hates anything to do with the supernatural. Kenya has a gift that allows her to see the crime through the eyes of the victim. However, in this case, she sees through the eyes of the killer. To solve the case, she must find out where her connection to the killer is. But will she and her partner be able to work together? Tell Me You Love Me from author Mahogany Silvering is available on Amazon in both Kindle and paperback editions, as well as the author's website, mahoganysilvering.net. Tell Me You Love Me from author Mahogany Silvering. Order your copy today.
Listening to Mahogany Says Radio Show with Mahogany Silvering, mahoganysilvering.net. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining the Mahogany Says Show. I am your host, Mahogany Silvering, and we've got a different show for you tonight. While we are waiting for our special guest tonight, author Patrice Rivers, I am going to play a little bit of Leonessa, so from chapter 6, the audiobook, Passion's Pride, Leonessa, which I wrote back in 2010, but has actually been rewritten and re-released last year. So to get us started, we're going to have a little Black History moment since it is February and Black History Month. Also, happy Valentine's Day for those of you celebrating tomorrow. Since I will not be broadcasting, you've got a little early Valentine tonight. So we're all familiar with the Betty Boop cartoon character Betty Boop, but not many know that the character created by Max Fleischer was based on an African-American woman, a singer in the 1920s. She was born in Chicago, and her name was Esther Jones, and she was a child entertainer who based her act and singing style on Florence Mills, often impersonating her. An audience were said to have called her Josephine Baker, or miniature Josephine Baker. She was also known as Little Esther and Baby Esther because of her iconic baby singing style voice. Baby Esther performed from 1923 to 1934. She started her career at the age of 10 as a Charleston dancer and became a trained dancer who could also tap dance. She was also an acrobat, and she could also sing the blues and jazz songs, and many of them as well not only in English, but other languages like Spanish and French. She also became a regular performer at the Cotton Club in Harlem, and in 1928, while performing on stage, Helen Kane came to see her and was inspired. In Esther's act, she would dance, make funny faces, and use words such as boop-boop-bee-doo. The little-known plus-size singer Helen Kane mimicked baby Esther's scat-style singing in her acts, using it in her first Victor release, That's My Weakness Now. She then used it in the Broadway show Good Boy and had a hit song entitled I Want to Be Loved by You. Now, not many remember that, but that was also in 1928, and she became famous overnight. Now, Esther was known for using phrases like boop-boop-a-doop, which later would become a signature of the character Betty Boop. Yet while the Betty Boop creators have acknowledged that Baby Esther is the true original, most people credit Helen Kane. Why? Because Helen Kane went out of her way to take the credit. She brought a lawsuit against Max Fleischer and his studio. However, after testimony from Baby Esther's manager, who testified that Helen Kane saw Baby Esther's cabaret act in Harlem in 1928 and mimicked her singing style thereafter. An early sound film test was also presented as the defense 2 years later, which featured Baby Esther performing in this style, disproving Kane's claims. Supreme Court Judge Edward J. McGoldrick ruled against Helen Kane, but Baby Esther also lost out because she was actively performing in Paris while the lawsuit was taking place under the name of Little Esther, the sepia dancing doll, and prior to that had been performing with Cab Calloway and his orchestra. Since she did not appear in court, the judge ruled in favor of Max Fleischer, and no royalties were ever paid to Miss Jones, even though Max acknowledged her as the character Betty Boop, for the use of her image and singing style in cartoons and subsequent Betty Boop enterprise. Now, had she been paid, her family would have inherited those things, and she would, her family would probably be millionaires today, but no such luck for her. So Esther was also sort of the Black Shirley Temple, but she was popular only in Europe and South America. She was known in America, but made a big hit in Canada, but it was outside the United States where she was best known. Esther left America in 1929, and she returned in 1933. She was active on the vaudeville circuits in 1934, but retired not too long after. She passed away later that year from hypertension, which is high blood pressure, and she was only 15 years old. So that's pretty sad. And I feel like Esther's story highlights the need for Black history being taught and for celebrating the accomplishments of all African Americans in real time and throughout history. For too long, the accomplishments of Black Americans have been overlooked, ignored, dismissed, or outright stolen as well, which is what Helen Kane tried to do, as well as lost in white people's telling of history. We need to know our history. Our history is important not only to us, but world history, because we are part of this world, and world history is part of us. So before we get started with Leonessa, I'm going to let you know that our guest tonight will be on a little bit later, but just to give you a little glimpse of what you can listen to and a sample of Leonessa's Passion's Pride, Leonessa, who was a lioness in West Africa, in the Sierra Leone. So let's take a listen to Leonessa, Chapter 6.
Chapter 6, Claiming Leonessa. When Leonessa reached her favorite spot, high above the village, she collapsed on all fours in the cool grass, panting and exhausted. Lance followed and placed his semi-wet jeans on a rock near Leonessa and settled in next to her. He looked around. It was dark out, and yet he could see as if it were day. The moon shined high above them, and Lance sniffed the air as he panted, trying to cool his body. Even in this form, with all the sights, sounds, and smells, it excited and terrified him at the same time. He'd felt exhilaration as he'd run closely behind Leonessa, his stride quickly matching her own. "Will I ever get used to this?" he sighed. Leonessa turned to him and laughed. "You can talk. It was days before I could talk with my first change, but then I was only 10 at the time. Maybe with you being a full-grown man, your power comes faster. You were just a kid when this happened to you? That's gotta be awful. I mean, weren't you scared? Yes, I was, and yes, you do get used to it. It does get easier and better with time. Is it painful like that every time you... No, just the first time. It will get easier, but sometimes I'm sore. It depends on how much running or hunting I've done. She stared at him in the moonlight. He was indeed beautiful in this form. A 450-pound alpha male cat whose thick, full mane blew gently in the fall wind. He stared at her quizzically. Why are you looking at me funny? Beg pardon, it's just you are beautiful in this form, as well as your human form. She sighed and moved to nuzzle at his neck, licking him from his throat up to his ears. His entire body shook as he began to laugh. Whoa, hold on there, darling. You're going to get me all riled up again. He placed one of his heavy paws on her back, moving quickly over her, pinning her down with all of his weight. Her heart beat faster as he pressed his groin at her backside. Her body trembled beneath him in fear and longing. She hadn't imagined he would be so strong. Even her brother Leokai hadn't been able to pin her so easily, and he was the strongest male of her village next to her father. Lance smelled her fear, and pulling up from her, he began to back away slowly. Sorry, I kind of got carried away. Guess I don't know my own strength. He laughed and shook his mane. It's okay. You just surprised me, that's all. I am still a virgin in this form and in human form. You mean y'all can make love in this form too? Yes, we can, but personally I would prefer my first time to be as a human. She laughed nervously. Lance wanted Leonessa. He could still smell her arousal, heat, and fear. But he didn't want to hurt her, and he felt awkward in this form. Well, in that case, how do I change back? Leonessa stood up and turned round to face him. Close your eyes and slow your breath. Think about your body changing, and it will. Her eyes were almost hypnotic as she spoke, and before Lance realized it, he was sitting on his knees in human form, the grass cool and thick beneath his legs. Leonessa, also in human form, crawled to him and sat back on the grass by his side, her legs curled behind her. Lance longed to touch her brown skin that looked so soft and supple. Her breasts were firm and high, the nipples dark and tits slightly upward. He looked her over. Her stomach was smooth and tight, flat, even in a sitting position. Her legs and thighs were thick and muscular. A small triangle of pubic hair covered her moist sex that nestled sweetly between her thighs. His gaze lingered over her body a moment before returning to her face. Those cool blue eyes gazed back at him, burning with passion, imploring him. Lance reached down to brush her cheek, but hesitated, looking suddenly serious. "Wetin mek," she whispered. "Will I..." Lance licked his lips softly. "Change? Every time I kiss you?" Leonessa laughed softly. "No, that was just to bring your power out so you could change the first time." She inched closer to him, daring him to kiss her, and kiss her he did. His arms went around her body, pressing her closer to him. He raised her up so they were both on their knees, his swollen cock pressed against the soft flesh.
You are listening to Mahogany Says Radio Show with Mahogany Silvering, MahoganySilvering.net. Listening to Mahogany Says Radio Show with Mahogany Silvering, MahoganySilvering.net. And we are back. You are listening to Mahogany Says Talk Show, and I am your host, Mahogany Silvering, author and show host and teacher. I have with me in the studio now is Ms. Patrice Rivers. Can you say hello to everybody?
Hey, everyone. How are y'all?
I'm so glad to have you.
Thank you. Especially Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, Yes, you are welcome. I got a chance to like watch you on the video, the live feed that we did on Tuesday.
Oh yeah,
that was amazing. you really couldn't tell. You were just
technical
like
technical difficulty. Yes,
I know, right? But you still got on there, and you looked great too.
Oh, thank you.
That is really awesome. So tell us a little bit about you. What inspired you to start writing poetry and things like that?
Well, I am an author. I've written a total of 7 books. The 8th book, of course, will be released tomorrow, A Love Scorn. I'm a blogger. I'm also a writer. I contribute to several magazines. I actually own my own magazine called Blackversity Magazine. And also, I'm a journalist. So my main focus right now is just writing more books for this year. I'm looking forward to it.
Wow. Nice. So you're just kind of all around, do everything just about.
Yes, I'm trying to be more disciplined.
Definitely. So tell us a little bit about your poetry.
Well, I started writing poetry at age 15. My first book actually was a poetry book published in 2012. Basically inspirational and motivational. This will be my 4th poetry book, Love Scorn. I wanted to do something different. I always wanted to write a collection of love poems and publish it. So
nice.
I decided, even November or December, I wanted to do something different and release a collection of love poems on Valentine's Day. And it's
perfect.
Only 14 poems. Thank you. And it's only 14 poems because February 14th, that's what Valentine's Day is. So I decided to do 14. So it's real.
Oh, nice.
A small book, but it's simple, you know. So I'm excited about that. Releasing that tomorrow.
Oh, that's great, and it gives people something to look forward to, and especially if you love poetry. And yeah, most definitely. So it's called A Love Scorn.
Definitely.
And have you written any other poetry books? Or?
Yes. Besides the first one I published in 2012, that following year, 2013, I actually published another one called Lyrical Passion, Tears from My Inkwell. And most of my poems are either about things I've been through or just things in general and, you know, the time we live in or topics or things people go through. But a lot of times, a lot of my poetry is about me because I like to interpret, you know, my situations that people can relate to or other things people can relate to when it comes to writing poetry. My other poetry book, Through My Lens, was actually published last year, July. That's still pretty new. And that's like one of my largest, I think, well, might be my second one, because this was like 130-something pages from my third poetry book.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's a lot of poems in that one.
It's a lot of poems.
But same thing. Yeah, mostly inspiration, stuff people relate to, things I went through, that sort of thing.
Oh, well, do you have like a poem that you would like to share with us?
Oh, let's see. Yes. Sorry. I'm trying to figure out which one should I read. Okay. I'm going to read this one. It's called Scared of Love.
Okay. Wow. Sounds good. Go ahead.
How many times has your love been torn apart? Broken into 1,000 pieces? Like expensive China dinnerware. Has love beat you to death until you couldn't talk for days? How many times has love made you scared that you couldn't eat for days? When you have been treated badly, where you couldn't trust love again. Having nightmares about love almost killing you. Too much pressure to be going through. How can you give love another chance when it has let you down millions of times? It makes you feel vulnerable until you stop answering when love calls. How long will you be scared of love? Until you never open up your heart again? Scared to be disappointed again? To be angry again? Until you start to believe that love is a sin? Give love another chance to make it right. a sidekick in the corner, ready to bounce back to happiness and live a peaceful, loving life with love by your side. That's it.
Wow. That is good. I like that.
Thank you.
Now, I also
try to write
that
stuff
you...
that you relate to.
Yes, definitely. And I think everybody just about has or experienced any kind of heartbreak or relationship can definitely identify with that.
Definitely.
Yes, it's like once bitten, twice shy kind of thing.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to bounce back. That's
yes.
The hard part.
So, yeah, fool me once, you know, shame on you, but fool me twice, shame on me for even going that way.
Yep. Yes.
Now, you also have a children's book.
Yes, I definitely do. Patricia's Guardian Angel. I have two, but the first one I wanted to rewrite. That's called Patricia's Trip to the Hospital, but Patricia's Guardian Angel. Basically, both children's books talks about a little girl living with sickle cell. And mainly it talks about my story because I have sickle cell, so I kind of interpret myself into a story because a lot of people don't know about sickle cell and what it is. So it's basically like an educational book inside of a children's book as well. So I'm excited about that one. Yeah, that's one of my favorite ones, the second one. And then I'll be remaking the first one over, redoing the first one. It's called Patricia's Visit to the Hospital. And it's already written. I just got to publish it this year. I'm not sure exactly when. So.
Okay, yeah, there's a little more detail to that.
Yes,
I only had one children's
definitely.
Book, and it's more so because the illustrations
is.
And then you're trying to make sure you're marketed to a certain age group. And yes.
Yep.
Most definitely. But it's definitely something that lots of kids, since it's, you know, sickle cell seems to be predominant in African Americans, that they would read something that pertains to them and they can identify with it and say, hey, she got through it. I can too. So definitely, that is great.
Thank
that
you.
That is really inspirational.
Yes.
Oh, good.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm trying to, because it's costly, especially for illustrations and then plus publishing.
Yes.
So it's like, that's the only thing. That's why it's, you know, taking forever to push more children books because it's both steps. It's a lot.
Now, do you go to children's? Yeah. Do you go to children's book fairs or things like that to kind of engage your readers?
Actually, I've never been to a children's book fair. That's something I definitely want to add on my list to participate.
Yes, definitely.
As well as reading to different libraries in my area for kids. So I've been thinking about that for a long time. I mean, I've read that book in particular to a preschool I used to go to.
Okay.
So I had an opportunity to do that for that, the whole class, the whole preschool. It's kind of funny.
Wow, I bet they enjoyed that.
They did. So I want to do more in the future. Reading programs at libraries and schools. So that is one of my goals, you know, once I get more, you know, writing more different children books and everything.
Okay. Well, that is definitely a plus. I know lots of kids will be excited to read about that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's one of my goals.
So how long have you been writing?
Well, I've been writing since I was 9. Very, very early age. I started out writing short fiction stories. It's kind of, you know, I used to create my own book covers and just write it. And I wish
Oh, wow, you went all out.
Yes. Nice. I used to cut the paper out and then kind of pencil it in as a book cover. You know, it was very creative. So I started writing at 9, poetry at 15, but I didn't actually publish my first book until 2012 when I was out of college then, you know.
Oh, okay.
So that was my first book. I wasn't writing for a while.
So was it difficult to come up with titles for your poetry books?
Actually, not really. Because the first one I had, the one I was published in 2012, that was a collection of God's Word and Motivation. And that's more dealing with biblical things in a spiritual sense, inspirational and motivational poetry, and the title just came to me. You know, right? Sometimes I write all my titles first and then a poem, and then, or sometimes I just write the poem first and then do the title. It just depends, honestly. But normally,
oh, yeah.
I never really have an issue writing the title, well, coming up with the title, you know, for poetry at least. It
oh,
comes
that's
easy
good.
For me. Yeah. The writing just comes naturally. I mean, writing poetry is easier for me than writing fiction books, period.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could see where there's definitely more of a flow with poetry, and it's.
It is.
I like it. I still kind of write
books.
It every once in a while.
Right.
I've been on the writing the books part, but I've never published any of my poems, but I.
Oh, wow.
I love reading poetry and just getting
yes,
the flow,
me
and
too.
Especially listening
yeah.
to music or having poetry
oh,
read with music in the background. That is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like the poem really comes alive.
I never really did a lot of open mics and spoken words.
Yeah,
yeah, a
really
few,
should.
But just because I get shy, so I just tend to, you know, write it. And there's I may attend one in April for National Poetry Month,
okay.
an art museum by me. So I may attend. That's in April, so we'll see. They have it every year.
Oh, well, that's good. So that'll be great exposure
yeah.
for you too.
Yeah, I procrastinate a lot, so I'll say I'll go now, and then when it gets close to the event, and I'll actually tell you my mind.
I know, the nerves start getting you.
Yeah.
Oh,
even
yeah.
when I'm reading from the
like
book.
You do great,
you know,
but.
Exactly. So we'll see how that goes. I look forward to that. Definitely.
Oh. Well, good. Do you write every day, or is it something that you just write when it hits, or your poems?
Actually, now for poetry, because for a long time, when I started writing poetry at 15, I was doing that all of high school, college. I was doing that really consistently, you know, on a daily basis or every week. Now, after I graduated college,
mm-hmm.
I kind of started writing more short fiction or fiction books. I kind of shifted a little bit. My first two books of poetry, so I still stuck with that. And I wanted to do something different genres, writing short fiction books, and, of course, children. So I kind of mixed it up. But writing, well, I try to write something down every day if I can. Now that I'm working on my new book project, you know, I try to at least, you know, focus on that and try to write different chapters. I haven't really started on my third book. Like I say, I'll start 2 weeks ago. I haven't started that yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to get back on the road with that. And then contribute articles for other magazines I write for. So I try to keep that going.
Wow, so you stay busy.
So. Yeah.
So which is more interesting
busy.
For you? Is it writing articles? Is that more interesting than writing the poetry books or something you like enjoy doing?
Poetry, the only time I normally write poetry is something I've been through or just a thought that comes to mind or just something in general that pops in my head. Because after writing this book right here, A Love Scorn, I haven't written any poetry then. But the main thing is just disciplining myself to, you know, write articles. Because I used to interview people a lot. Constantly last year,
mm-hmm.
nothing but interviews I did back to back for these magazines. So I'm like, well, let me take a step back and actually focus on writing articles. And so
okay.
it allowed me to, you know, research different topics and just write what I love writing about and stuff I know. So taking a different spin this year and kind of giving interviewing people a break. You know, I'm still mixing in a little bit, but just kind of writing more articles more. So,
okay.
I think writing articles,
yeah,
well, actually, go hand in hand. It's kind of easy on both ends for me.
Kind of takes more discipline to do so.
Yes, just procrastination. I do a lot of procrastinating. So I'm trying to get out of that habit this year and just really do it. So just got to brainstorm and I just write it and it'll be done and submit it.
So. Well, that's great. I could probably have like maybe three. I tried to write for a local newspaper for a little bit, but I found out I just was much better at writing fiction. Because I know with articles, you have to be objective.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, you want to lean one way or the other, but actually real professional journalism, like, you know, you do have to remain objective. And it seems like most of the news
definitely.
We see now, it's really not. It leans one way or the other.
It's my own community paper, because I haven't written for it for about a year. I started out writing for my community paper, which is an opinion piece. Anybody can contribute to it in the paper. I started out writing for that, and I'm trying to get back into that. Cause I've written for so many magazines last year. I'm like, well, it's getting to be too much, crowded, and then I have my own magazine, you know. So I'm like, I had to balance it and cut stuff out and focus on my book projects. Cause my goal is 5 books this year. So I have to cut down a lot of stuff. Yeah, I had to cut down a lot of stuff. It gets to be stressful.
Yes, I can imagine that. It gets to be a lot.
Too much. Yes. So I had to prioritize and, you know, pushing these 2 books out. One releases next month. And then, of course, the summertime, trying to release a sequel and then kind of have a book for each season. But we'll see how that goes. We'll see.
Well, don't overdo it. Don't over and stretch yourself.
Yeah,
that's
definitely,
you know, you don't want to get burned out with it. Because I know when you do something you love, you're like, okay, I'm just going to do this. But you can get overwhelmed and it's like, oh, I don't want to do this.
If I can do 3, then I can do 3. And then a children's book. And then that's it.
Yeah, because children's books take a lot more work. So.
Yeah, I definitely want that out.
So what would you say is your most interesting writing quote?
What was that again? Is it writing quote?
Your writing quirk. Do you have any quirks, like when you're writing?
I know before I start writing a fiction story, I like to brainstorm, outline everything. I mean, really in detail as far as title, characters, detail. I mean, everything outlined, detail. Okay, scene 1, what's the most important scenes in this book? What scenes am I trying to write? So I kind of like brainstorm like that on paper. And then when I start writing the chapter, trying to go with the flow.
Yeah.
Really detailed. Yeah, I really outline stuff like to a T before I start writing. Just a fiction book.
Yes. Because I outline, but I never seem to stick to it, because once it starts going, sometimes it goes in a different direction.
True.
I was thinking, okay.
So one book that did happen to me, my 6th book, I jotted it down, but then I started typing and writing it. It went a whole different direction, you know, from what I expected it to be. So sometimes I'll write it or type stuff, you know, just to see what I come up with, just depending. So I'm just trying to come up with that dialogue. It can be a challenge at times.
Yeah, it can be sometimes. So you can picture it in your head. Exactly.
Yeah. That's the hardest
part. So do you
part.
Hear?
I'm not, you know,
I know, right? Sometimes they won't shut up. It's like, okay, wait,
exactly.
I can't get that down fast enough. Wait a minute. So do you hear much from your readers? I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. As far as my readers, because the main issue I'm encountering is marketing. You know, even though I've written, a few books, but it's just the marketing part. So, I can use a little more, as far as marketing. That's kind of what my weak point is. So hopefully I get more readers this year. But I mean, some people have purchased my book. I've gotten great feedback from it. But I just want to work more on my marketing, because that's the struggle I'm having. I've been having that issue for a while, marketing the book.
Ah.
Complete it.
So do you, are you a member of a lot of groups or like poetry groups or anything like that? Okay.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah, sometimes it can be easier when you have, when you know your audience and you can kind of, you know, cater to them.
Right.
And, you know, you meet other people or hang out with other poets and people that like poetry and just kind of go from there. That's kind of what I have done. I know there's probably like a consistent plan to doing it, but I've seen where I've had most success, where I've been in groups and, you know, meeting other people and getting to know the readers and asking them questions and having them, you know, ask me questions. So
right.
It kind of gets them,
definitely,
you know, more involved, especially with poetry. And I think
poetry groups I'm part of. There's a lot on Facebook.
Yes, but you should also read more out loud, I think, because the way you read, that was nice.
Definitely.
And I know April, The Drip Oral Dictation, her show, you should definitely go on there and speak with April because she does a lot of poetry. And she has a poetry book that's out as well, but she does a radio broadcast that has a lot of poets and she puts into music and you can get into it.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. And you want
to
sit there and just snap
that
away, right?
Years ago. I used to do that years ago. For some reason, I stopped. I don't know why. It was like 2013, 2014. I used to do that, calling for the radio show, the poetry radio show. And people would, you know, go online, you know, and then read. I don't know what happened. I just fell off from it. But yeah, reading out loud, I think I did it. Oh, last month I read a poem out loud from this book as well. So I think a lot of people like that. My goal is to probably read at least once a week. If I can do it on a Sunday, if I don't get ready enough, I try to do
more. That's a good
idea. reading.
On, I know Sunday I try not to do too much.
So if I can do it once a week, you know, that'll be good. Or even voice. Without the video and the voice to post it. I think I did it.
Right.
I need to go back to it.
Yeah, see, and you could do an audiobook of your poems. That would be great.
Yeah, that'd be good. Because I always want to do a poetry CD as well, but I'm like, that might be a little bit hard work. You know, but I don't know. That's one of my goals, to do at least one poetry book. And just mix it with different poems.
Oh, yeah. That would be great.
Well, one day in the future.
Okay, so do you find that writing is emotionally draining or it's is it uplifting for you or is it energizing?
It's very uplifting. For me, it's very therapeutic at the same time because I can be stressed or depressed or just feeling a certain way. And those feelings are just there, especially when it's fresh. And then that's what happened a lot with this book right here, I'm a Love Scorn, feeling pain and then feeling those feelings. I just started writing down on paper. Just writing down as I was feeling the feeling. Yeah, so it's very therapeutic. Definitely. I noticed that over the years, especially in high school and college, you know, going through a lot of stuff with that.
That's when I
really helped
my poetry.
it really
does.
Oh my gosh. Right.
I wish I still had my poetry from, and I do not know where it is. I think after we moved around much, just got somewhere. Yeah, it was really therapeutic to write poetry. I think my best poems are not my happy ones. They're the ones that I am dealing with pain. I'm just trying to get it out. You know, it's like you feel like you're the only one experiencing that, but you know you're not. It's just,
oh, yeah.
But
definitely
it's so much better
people.
To get it out. Yes.
Get it out, yes. So I do a lot in high school. I think I still had my first poetry book in high school. It was in a Garfield composition notebook. And I was looking at
okay.
I still got it.
Like, you still got the Garfield.
Yeah, I still got the Garfield composition book. And I have so many different notebooks with poetry in them on pieces of paper and other. It's crazy. It's like all over the house in different notebooks and stuff. I have. I keep a lot of notebooks in the house. Definitely.
I do too.
And journals.
Yes.
So I definitely.
And if it's not note taking from some class I've had or anything, I keep my notebooks because I never know when
too.
I'm going to need them. You just. I thought I was the only one that had different notebooks. A whole bunch of notebooks and folders.
Yeah.
I literally have like a
folded,
file cabinet full of stuff.
I'm the same way. Because I buy journals and I don't use it. I bought some like a couple years ago and I haven't used it yet. I collect journals and
you collect journals.
Yeah,
that's all right. You fill them up. You live on. You can fill them up as you go. There you go. So when it comes time to write your biography, you've already gotten it written down. All you got to do is go back and put in key points. But yeah, so that's how I was thinking. Because my daughter bought me a journal one year that has like cherry blossoms on it, and it has a leather strap that closes around it and ties.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah.
It's really pretty. And I started using that.
Wow.
I was like, I almost didn't want to write in it because it was so pretty. But
yeah. I'm like, okay, I'll buy it.
Yeah, like those
Walmart
are the ones you're
or,
like, don't touch this.
Yeah. So I have a lot of those that I haven't used. Well, eventually, you know. I'll use it again, especially with the poetry or just brainstorming in general.
Exactly. Okay, so can you tell us where the readers can purchase your books?
Well, you can purchase my book straight on Amazon. I can give you the direct link, the author central link, amazon.com/author/Patrice Rivers. Amazon.com/author/Patrice Rivers. And all my books are up there. And as soon as the new book is up.
Do you have a website?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. My website is PatriceRivers.com. First and last name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, real simple. And everything's up there.
I know, right?
Writing,
keep it simple.
Blog. And actually, if you go on my website as well, there is a link for my books. So you can actually click on that link and it'll take you to the Amazon page.
Take you right
to
it.
My website,
okay.
Yeah, I try to have everything connected on my website. Like everything, my writing, blog, magazine, everything together on that website.
So tell me about the River Girls brand.
That Rivers Girl brand, because my last name is Rivers, I created that name, that Rivers Girl, a couple of years ago. I just thought it, you know, was unique. It flowed well. Actually, somebody else's website, when I was at Virginia State, and I was interning with somebody, her website was thatjonesgirl.com. And I'm like, that really sticks out. I didn't think about it till later on, and I'm like, that Rivers Girl. So I kept saying it over and over again. So that's how I came up with the name, That Rivers Girl. And then I added the brand part to it about a year ago because That Rivers Girl brand consists of my published books, my writings that I do for different magazines, my actual magazine itself, my poetry, and my writing services. So that's all connected under my brand. The stuff I offer, stuff I do. Yeah.
So what kind of services do you offer?
Writing services. So we have, mainly for bios, press releases, article, blog content, posts. If you need something written for your website, I do that as well. Social media posts, because I'm always creating stuff on Canva. I use Canva a lot.
I know. I stay with Canva a lot, too.
Yeah.
That's a great site, isn't it? You can find just about a lot
of
things. So
I create a lot of all my flyers and all my logos, too, from Canva as well, because they have a logo maker up there. So I play with that. But, yeah, those mainly the services I offer is strictly pertaining to writing. So if anybody needs, services for that. You know, because I wanted to get back to the writing community. So I thought that would be a great way. Because I love writing.
Definitely.
You know, so. Definitely.
So do you do any ghostwriting for anyone?
I haven't really decided because I don't know if I mean, it sounds interesting, but I don't know if I want to do it because a lot of hard work.
Yeah.
I haven't really thought about it. Yeah, I haven't really thought about it yet, but maybe one day. But it sounds like a lot of hard work, but then you got to get the information from them and then write it. Yeah.
And write it in the way that they would write it, their style. Yes.
Yes. That's the only thing is whether they don't like my style or, you know, just maybe one day. Because I know a lot of people say make a lot of money from ghostwriting, so I haven't really tried it. I just stick to freelance writing and article writing and blog posts, blogging, and writing books.
See, yes, I have a hard time keeping up with the blog. So I try to do it every once in a while or maybe a couple of times a month. Just try to do to write something in my blog or do like an interview or a review of books.
Mm-hmm.
So it's I don't know how you keep up with it. I have a hard time.
Being with the magazine with that.
On top of that, it's like, how do you have time for all of those things? It's like, do you break up your day and say, I'm going to do so many hours on this and so many hours on that?
Mm-hmm. So I do everything at work because I don't really do a whole lot of work. And I take all the other stuff, like stuff I need to do, I do it all there. I get a lot done. Because I come home, I don't find doing nothing. So, you know, 8.5 hours on my work on those days. I, you know, start from the morning until, you know, almost time to go home. So I just work on it. And I'm glad, you know, that it's like that because I get a lot done.
Right.
With that. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's hard to kind of, I think time management is one of the biggest things.
Yeah.
That is. As long as you can get that done, then I get so many things in. And I'm the type of person, if I don't get everything on my list done, I'm really frustrated. But if I take a little bit off that list, then I can make it more manageable.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely. Because I don't work full-time.
And then it won't bother me as much.
I mean, I have two jobs.
Oh, wow.
I have a full-time job.
Wait, so you have two jobs on top of all of this?
I have one at City Hall and then the other one at retail store, Kohl's. So, yeah.
Wow.
But I don't really have a full-time.
Stay busy.
So it's like, if I have a full-time, how will I fit everything into? So that would be like a ultimate challenge.
Yeah, like, when do you have a social life?
Exactly. I will have to, like, make a day for this. But Saturday and Sunday, I can use one of those days, too. And then, so it'll be kind of hard. But for this,
yeah, I try not to plan too many things on the weekend.
Yeah.
I might do an author takeover or something, but only for a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
That way it frees up my time so I can spend time with my family or read.
Right, definitely. Because
I still love to read. That's my biggest thing. And I love reading other authors' books.
Too.
And yeah,
me too.
So.
Definitely. I used to own a podcast. And that took a lot out of me. That took a whole lot out of me. I hadn't stopped that last year. I'm like, I can't do this. Yeah. I interview people. Well, I can't do this. It's too much time for someone. I can't do this.
I know you come up with something different for each show, and
yeah.
I just started doing this last year, so. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cool.
I enjoy it.
I might get back into it. Yeah, it might be just me talking about different topics instead of interviewing people on Anchor.
Right.
I started one on Anchor, so I might stick to just me talking about different topics.
Or you could have guest anchors. See, there you go.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's a lot more fun when you have someone to, you know, play off of. I think it's more fun.
Definitely have a guest or a co-host.
Yeah, see? There you go. But you have a lot of things you're involved with, so you definitely have a lot to share and experience, you know, with people who are maybe thinking or considering the same field. But
Right. I just try to keep focus and just take one day at a time.
Well, thank you so much for joining me tonight. And
thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, I'm glad to. And I know I'll keep in touch with you online. I'll see you post different things, and
definitely.
I'll share them. You know, as long as you have it posted up, I'm going to share them too. So that's what I try to do with everyone that I meet, because I like, you know, putting it out there. I don't know. I think I like promoting other people sometimes more than myself.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I'll share it.
Yeah.
It seems more easy.
I'm only saying something. It does.
Yeah, it really does.
I appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for coming on tonight. And for those of you who have been tuning in, we've been listening and talking to Patrice Rivers, who is author, poet, and all-around great person, writer of magazines, creator of her own magazine, and woman is busy. But I'm glad you took the time with us tonight. So thank you, everyone, for listening in and tuning in, and have a great, happy Valentine's Day.
I've been listening to Mahogany Says with Mahogany Silverain at mahoganysilverain.net. Thank you and good night.